Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Stella Bronson to commence another episode of Office Wife.
I did a terrible thing the other day, and I've been kicking myself ever since. Benny Puller's moving heaven and earth to put a stop to Harry Palmer's simply amazing run of swindling and luck. And you know what he's after, of course. Benny wants Jeff Pilgrim to go back to his wife. That's the one thing in the world I'm determined to avoid. So when Benny told me about the scheme he and Cedric Cooper had cooked up, I went to see Palmer and warned him. I know it was rotten, but now that Jeff's divorcing Marcia to marry me, I won't let anything happen to ruin my only chance. So I warned Palmer. Only I found he'd already been warned by Hooper. Now what's his game? Do I tell Benny, or let it rest?
Well, then, Stella, here's where we shove on our thinking caps. Marcy has kicked our account out of Bendigo and Company on Palmer's advice.
When did she decide to do that?
A couple of days ago. It means that our scheme to get the better of Mr. Palmer has fallen flat on its face before we've even got it started. He knows about the Gotham Investment Company.
How does that beggar always manage to keep just one jump in front?
This time, my dear, it's because someone tipped him off. You haven't any idea who it was, have you?
Well, of course not.
How many of us knew about it?
Well, you and I and Cedric Hooper.
Did I tip Palmer off?
Oh, no, silly.
Would you?
Oh, very, really.
Okay, so that leaves Hooper. Now, will someone kindly tell me why Hooper would sit here cooking up Palmer's swan song with me 1 minute and pass the word to Palmer the next? And tell you, Stella, it's got me flummoxed.
Me too. Are you certain of this?
When I talked to Palmer last night, he said he wouldn't be doing business with me or the Gotham Investment Company.
Well, that settled it. Hooper must have told Palmer what you had in store for him.
Exactly. So that leaves us two lines to follow up. One, find out why. And two, take advantage of it. Hooper's passing on information to Mr. Palmer, right? We let him ride, figure something out, tell Hooper all about it, and wait for him to pass it on to Palmer. You know, I'm going to get some fun out of this. What about you?
Oh, yes. I'll be simply screaming up my sleeves from first to last.
But this time, remember, there'll only be two people who know what's going on. Me and you.
So what?
If Palmer wakes up this time, I won't have far to look. Will I?
Organized, Mr. Puller. That dame I was telling you about, the one we're going to plant in the Bendigo building for Harry Palmer's benefit.
Yes, the dame. Well, I've been thinking...
He's just the kid we're after. Smooth. Got a head screwed on.
All right, let me get a word in, will you? I've decided that for the time being, we'll leave things as they are.
What? But I thought you wanted to put the arm on this fellow Palmer without wasting any time.
It'll be another 2 weeks before Palmer steps into Percy Fleming's shoes. And in those 2 weeks, we'll get our plan of campaign cut and dried, ready to go into action the minute Palmer feels he's secure. Okay?
I guess so. But what about this little fairy of mine? I told her we had a job we wanted
done. Don't wait a while. Stella will be using her in a couple of weeks. Tell her anything, but just sit tight in the meantime.
You're the boss.
And don't you forget it. Well, we're on that subject. Palmer's persuaded Marcia Pilgrim to drop our account. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. It's going to make it kind of tougher for us, isn't it? Not having any dealings with Bendigos.
Why should it? Palmer doesn't know that I'm the Gotham Investment Company, does he?
Don't suppose so.
Not unless someone's told him, that is.
Who is there to spill the beans?
What about Stella Bronson?
Oh, I thought she was supposed to be on Jeff Pilgrim's team.
So she is. But at this stage of the game, she might want things to stay just as they are. She doesn't want Palmer showing up. That might send Marcia back to Jeff Pilgrim's arms.
Say, you wouldn't like me to keep an eye on her, would you?
What do you think?
It might be a good idea.
Right, work on it. And here's something that'll interest you, but you have to keep it to yourself. Strict is confidence, you understand?
I can keep my trap shut.
I've already got someone working for me interested in Bendigo and Company. Right on the inside, where they can watch the books on every penny that's paid in or out of the firm.
Who is it? Anyone I know?
The fellow poor old Bendigo put in there to watch Palmer in the first place, and who eventually helped to pin that fraud on Jeff Pilgrim. A fellow called Francis Glover.
Well, you could blow me down.
But don't you breathe a word about it, or I'll have you hide. Clear off now, I'm busy. And try to find out if Stella Bronson's been seeing Palmer. Okay?
Okay, Chief. I'll be seeing you.
That's what you call killing two ducks with one charge of buckshot. And throw suspicion on Stella, so you'll think you're in the clear, Hooper. I get Palmer to do exactly what I want him to about Frank Glover. Knowing he'll go straight to Harry Palmer makes it kind of easy for me.
Jeff, darling, why is it that when I'm with you in this place, I just want to put my head on your shoulder and dream?
You need more sleep.
Deep. Oh, it must be the dim lights, or the choir, or the martini, or just you anyway.
Let's settle for the piano player. And if you really go to sleep, then get us both thrown out. Want to dance?
I want to talk.
Yes, so do I. Today I saw some people who will handle my divorce for me.
Quickly?
Decree nisi, almost at once. Decree absolute in the usual 6 months.
Does Marcia know?
She will tomorrow. I'll have to see her again.
How will I stand? Will I be in the papers as a home wrecker? A stealer of other women's husbands and all the rest?
No, you won't even get a mention. It'll be just another routine divorce.
Why do so many marriages go on the rocks, Jeff?
How should I know? Because so many of them are built on sand, based on false assumptions, I suppose. You know what so many people are. They rush into marriage, expecting that first fine rapture to survive the gas bills and the kids' whooping cough. Then the old man comes home tired. The wife begins to think, let him get his own slippers. I haven't been idle all day. And so on. Then before he can say night, there are two people thoroughly bored with each other. So, what does Happy do? Looks about for some little popsy who goes for the my wife doesn't understand me routine. And hands him out sympathy and flattery. The next thing, there's an argument about how much maintenance and who gets custody of the kids.
You make it sound quite appallingly sordid.
Confound it, I think we live in sordid times. Just look about you. How many happy 10-year-old marriages do you see? Not one in 10. There's no love left in them. Only resignation, boredom, and tolerance. A sort of passive acceptance of a situation neither husband nor wife have the energy or the initiative to end. They have the twin social relaxations of the laundromat and the pub. And I think it all works out about even because too many women think marriage is the end of romance.
The end of romance?
Yes, the end. What's the end of the fairy tales? The handsome prince married the woodcutter's daughter, and they lived happily ever after. But the tales are careful to end right there, before dreary reality sets in.
Will our marriage be the end of romance?
My present one was, after a while.
Yes, but why?
I can tell you in one word. Jealousy.
I want ours to be an adventure.
Don't reach for the moon, Stella. It might have been my fault. Two failures, and I might start thinking about getting myself psychoed.
It wasn't your fault, Jeff. Marcia must have been crazy. When I look at you now, I know she was crazy. And I know what you mean about dreary reality. Too many women think their marriage is the climax to any sort of effort. The end of competition with other women. A goal they've scored and nothing more to worry about. And then when a couple of children come along, they let themselves go, bit by bit. From slippers round the house in the morning to curlers in their hair at night. Phew. Well, if I ever get like that, you can throw me out of the house.
You want children, don't you, Stella?
I want yours. Would you be a good father?
If I had any children, I'd listen to them sleeping when I came home late. I'd be a miser, counting my treasure at midnight.
Get your divorce, Jeff. Promise me all this will come true. I want it to so much. Promise me.
I already have, haven't I? Yes, Stella. I suppose it'll all come true.
But will it? There's so much that could still go wrong. He thinks of only two people, Harry Palmer and his wife. When will he start thinking about me?
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.